lots of different agencies and groups have been working on ways to improve the environment in the Great Lakes region. For years, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and Environment Canada have been identifying polluted areas and cracking down on pollution sources. Other federal agencies in both countries have been trying to improve wildlife habitat and restore a natural balance in the lakes. State and provincial agencies, environmental groups, and hunting groups have all been working on bits and parts of the Great Lakes ecosystem, trying to make things better. And the Great Lakes are certainly better than they were 35 years ago. But how much better? Well, until recently, no one seemed to have a good way of measuring progress. In the early 1990s, it became clearer to all those involved in improving the Great Lakes that there needed to be a gauge everyone could use, a way to measure the health of the Great Lakes. Paul Horvatin is with the U.S. EPA and co-chairs the effort to find that gauge. He says it was hard to decide where to start.
What is the best measurement? What is the best yardstick that we should be using to be able to measure against, to be able to say whether or not things are getting better or not?
Scientists of all stripes, government agencies, and environmental groups came up with 850 indicators, different things that might tell how healthy the Great Lakes are. Things such as the number of fish, the amount of contaminants in the water, the number of birds hatching from eggs. Horvatin says the initial list was overwhelming.
Well, we realized that we would not be able to use and collect all that data, assimilate it into something useful to be able to explain to the public. So what we did was we took that information and actually boiled it down to the 80 indicators that we do have reporting on, of which the 31 we do have data now. Hopefully we'll be able to point to the future to be able to tell the public, says, yep, the fish are safe to eat or no, they're not.
Paul Horvatin's counterpart in Environment Canada is Harvey Shear. Shear says it was tough reducing the number of indicators. Several indicators might be necessary to measure the health of one component of the Great Lakes ecosystem. For example, the health of lake trout might be a component, while the number of fish, the size of the fish, and each contaminant found in the fish flesh might each be a separate indicator. Shear says they had to screen some of that data somehow, so they agreed to use three criteria on each of the 850 indicators.
Was the indicator necessary to describe the component? Was it sufficient? Was it on its own enough to describe that component of the system? And was it feasible to do it? Feasible was important because it may be a great indicator, but if it costs $500 million a year to collect three samples or something, obviously it's not feasible. So when we screened those 850 through that sieve of those three criteria, we reduced it down to 80. And this was done through scientific panels of people within the Great Lakes Basin, and that's how we came up with 80.
But Shear says as more information is gathered, the list of indicators will likely change.
This list is not sort of set in concrete. We may find some of those indicators that are in the developmental phase are just not practical. We thought they were feasible, they may not be. There may be nobody out there doing the research or monitoring. There may be others that we, for some reason, didn't put in, and so we feel it's more like a framework in which people can work in a kind of comprehensive way.
The researchers hope to gather data for a final list of 80 or so indicators by the year 2006. All of this measuring and cleanup is being done because of a treaty between the United States and Canada called the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement. The International Joint Commission, the IJC, is the organization that's supposed to monitor how well the two nations are meeting that agreement. Thomas Baldini heads up the U.S. sector of the IJC. He's been closely watching the governments and others come up with this list of indicators and is impressed with the progress.
I mean, I remember when we began talking about this and everyone saying it was impossible to do it. Well, now we're beginning at least to say we have a target date of 6 years from now that we should have sufficient data to support those 80 indicators.
Baldini says whether the number of indicators ends up to be 80 or 800 is not as important as what is learned about the Great Lakes.
80 may be maybe too many, may not be enough, but you have to begin somewhere. I mean, when we first started, we asked only three questions. You know, is the water of the Great Lakes drinkable? Is it swimmable? And are the fish in it edible?
The organizer is trying to determine the best list of indicators. Say, those are still exactly the questions they're trying to answer. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.